Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I can never get enough. The one piece of pop culture and entertainment that I can never get enough of and that still entertains me. You know, I am a legit Star Wars nerd and proud of it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Thursday morning to you if you are just waking up. It's one of those cool weeks in sports where we get to do a little about a lot. And I kind of like it because we jump around, we bop around, and even as there are some big stories like what's happening in Major League Baseball and all the talk about the Astros and their 2020 season, but that 2017 World Series that's now tainted, you've got Major League Baseball proposing all this, call them weird, some weird wrinkles for a new look in the playoffs. You've also now got rules changes. So there's a lot happening in baseball. Recent American League MVP joins the current NL MVP. Think about that. I mean, that's, if the Dodgers, I feel like we say this every year, if the Dodgers don't win this year, it's a colossal disappointment. And yeah, it is. But they continue to try, which I admire. It's a little bit like the New Orleans Saints, right? There's something that Saints fans and Dodgers fans can find to commiserate. We're heading into the NBA All-Star Weekend, which is going to have a bittersweet flair to it, no doubt. There will be a lot of talk about Kobe Bryant. You'll have different players honor him with shoes or with jerseys, and that shadow that he casts, it's going to continue to be felt and to be seen over the rest of the regular season and even beyond. But because Kobe Bryant was such a force at All-Star Games himself through the course of his career, no doubt that in Chicago, there'll be so much of Kobe's presence being felt. And so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, there's sadness to it as well, but I am looking forward to it. And of all the people who have honored Kobe Bryant or paid tribute to Kobe Bryant, this is the group of players. This is the community that he had the most impact on, to be sure. I'm not sure if you saw this, but he and his daughter Gianna were actually buried on the family property in a private ceremony a week ago. So we hadn't heard anything about it. We know the public memorial is coming up at the Staples Center on February 24th, 2024. So the numbers that Gianna and Kobe wore. But we didn't hear anything about their actual funerals and burials. And I guess there was supposed to be a different location for their burials, and it turned out that Vanessa and her family decided that they would be buried on their family property, and so they have been laid to rest, and now we'll wait for that public memorial service, which is sure to, you know, to be the dominant story and to offer us some poignant images and getting right back to Staples Center, where they, you know, they had all the basketballs and the flowers and the candles and the posters and the notes, and Staples Center finally had to clean up outside because they've got commitments to other events outside of basketball, and the bittersweet feel of that. Right, it's not like you're forgetting Kobe Bryant because you clean up this memorial, but there's also that element of time and of life that you have to move on. You don't have a choice. I mean, time continues to march on. It's a blessing and a curse. But I would expect that there'll be some of that on even a limited scale, but we'll see some of that as his memorial service and fans get prepared for that memorial service. I'm not sure how they're going to do it, if they're going to do first come, first serve, if that's the case. Staples Center is not ginormous, right? We're not talking about a football stadium here. There was some talk that they would do a memorial service at the Coliseum. I'm not sure if you guys heard that, but they eventually decided on Staples Center, that the house that Kobe helped to build. And so there's limited seating there. I can imagine that if they decided to do first come, first serve, you're going to see people camping out to try to get into that memorial service. So I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but the next big thing in basketball is the All-Star break, the All-Star weekend coming up in Chicago. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Again, thanks so much for your comments and your responses to the DeMario Davis conversation. We're going to put that on our YouTube channel. It'll be available as our part of our podcast as well, so please pass it on. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise, so get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. I didn't think that it would be long before we heard from Bob Costas about the Major League Baseball playoff proposal or what's going on with the Astros. So I wasn't at all surprised that he was a guest on our New York affiliate, WFAN, to talk about some of the big issues in baseball. And I say big issues. There's one big issue and big topic in baseball right now, which is the Astros. And then there's some of these other smaller ones, the proposed rules changes, or no, the proposed playoff tweaks. So the playoff bracket being expanded, that's proposed. The other rule changes, those are actually taking effect starting with spring training games in about a month from now. So not surprised that Bob Costas was weighing in. His opinion is a strong one about the Astros and did not hold back on WFAN.
Tainted. And everybody will make whatever judgments. You know, just like Barry Bonds' single season and career home run records are tainted, as are the gargantuan numbers of Sandy Sosa and Mark McGwire and whomever. And you don't need an official asterisk or expunging of a championship or a record for knowledgeable fans to make their own judgment.
Oh, so he's cut off a little bit there, but he said for fans to make their own judgment, their own judgments. And he's right, and it's not the first that we've heard of the Astros sign-stealing schemes being compared to what was happening during the steroid era. And I think the idea behind that is that it's more prevalent than just the Astros. I mean, the Red Sox are being investigated as well. And if you read some of the comments, some of the articles that are out there, there are other teams that were employing similar methods, maybe, potentially. It's kind of assumed, actually, in some circles, but they weren't caught. Maybe more of that comes out down the road, but it reminded me a little bit of the bounty hunting situation with the New Orleans Saints a few years back. And Greg Williams had been a defensive coordinator in other places as well. And it wasn't the first that we'd ever heard of bounties in the NFL, though the commissioner said this can't happen and the Saints got caught and they're the ones that got hammered. Well, that's similar to what's going on with the Astros now and potentially the Red Sox. It's not the first time this has ever been tried. It's not the first team that's ever gotten caught. But once the commissioner said, hey, no more of this, and if you do get caught, you're going to be heavily penalized, and the Astros still decided to run amok and didn't do it in a clandestine enough way that they could get away with it, at least not forever. I mean, they're the guinea pigs now. They're the ones that are being made the example. But Bob Costas makes a really good point. I like what he has to say, that we don't need to take the title away from the Astros or to vacate the title. So they wouldn't be giving it to the Dodgers. In the case of the Red Sox, they wouldn't be giving it to the Dodgers. No, the Dodgers don't want the title that way anyway. But even if the Astros remain the champions of 2017, just like Barry Bonds is still technically the home run king, fans know that it's tainted. Fans will never accept it without the asterisk, even if it's just a proverbial asterisk. So I appreciate that point from Bob Costas on WFAN in New York. Now, I do not agree with his opinion about the proposed changes to the playoff bracket, at least not completely agree.
Adding this element of intrigue and strategy and a television show, yes, where some of the participating teams get to pick their opponents. That creates a whole lot of baseball talk. Plus, just as importantly, you're creating additional postseason opportunities for television and more elimination games, which in this era attract more eyeballs. So it makes sense from the standpoint of television and marketing. The basic concept, I think, makes sense.
Yeah, no, I disagree with that. I don't mind the expanded playoffs, and I do love the idea of more elimination games, but the whole made-for-TV reality show, we have Survivor for that. They just kicked off a brand new season on Wednesday night on CBS. I actually have it on my DVR. So I can kind of take or leave Survivor. My brother's family, they love Survivor. They've been watching it essentially religiously. They do it as a big family thing. So whenever I'm down there and the season is ongoing, I definitely watch with them. But I haven't gotten into it nearly as much since it first came out. But this one is the War of the Winners, and it's $2 million, and it's all these previous winners of Survivor, so I'm in. Anyway, just that's a total side note. It has nothing to do at all with Bob Costas or baseball. But I don't need a reality show element to my Major League Baseball playoffs. To me, that makes it campy, and it takes away from the work that these teams do. So I don't agree with them there, but I don't mind more elimination games. You know me. I'm all about the drama. Interestingly enough, and I don't think that Trevor Bauer speaks for all of Major League Baseball, but I do think that there's no way he's alone on his island. His opinion is so completely contrasting to what we just heard from Bob Costas about changing things around. And now Trevor Bauer put out a really cryptic tweet back when this proposal was kind of leaked. And let's be honest. Baseball leaked it to the New York Post. This was not some, I'm not in any way trying to say that the New York Post author wasn't doing his work. That's not what I'm saying. But baseball wanted this out there to kind of gauge interest. In addition to that, was hoping that there would be some of the spotlight that kind of shifted away from the Houston Astros. Anyway, so Bauer put out this tweet and he directed at the commissioner because that was really the only place he knew where to direct it. And he called the commissioner a joke and had some other really strong language. It was slightly tempered on the platform momentum, but he's on the other end of the spectrum from Bob Costas.
Like, who put this out without thinking of the fact that the best team in the league is going to get a 6-day layoff while we sort out this whole three games here and this wild card, and we're going to pick our opponent, and we're going to do this whole reality TV stuff. Meanwhile, the best team in baseball is sitting at home waiting for all this crap to transpire. God forbid someone's ace pitches 4 days before the end of the regular season and then has 10 days in between starts. Being on a routine is so important in baseball. We play for 6 months, and now you're going to say at the most critical time of the year that we're going to get 6 days in between games, and who knows how the pitching rotation lines up and all this different stuff, and that's supposed to be a benefit? That's supposed to be the best team in baseball gets this benefit? These are just some things that come off the top of my head. The first time I read through the proposal, I haven't even had time to think about this. I just read it like an hour ago, and I just am so, it's frustrating, man.
So Trevor Bauer didn't call the commissioner a joke again, but clearly has some issues. And while I do know that Bauer's extreme, I mean, let's be honest, he likes stirring the pot. He likes to get in the faces of the powers that be from his social media platform. And this one happened to be on Momentum. I had to ask producer Chris what that was because I had no idea what it was. Anyway, that's his platform. While he's certainly a guy who doesn't mind, in fact, I almost think he's daring baseball to come after him. He doesn't mind speaking out. He doesn't mind using strong language. I mean, he's an extreme. If he feels this way, there are certainly other baseball players that feel the same way. Now, they would have to ratify any changes to the postseason bracket, to the postseason field, similar to what the NFL is facing right now on a smaller scale, because the NFL is actually coming up with an entire new labor deal. But, you know, that the baseball has to make it appealing enough that a majority of baseball players in the union will agree to it. How do you do that? Well, there should be more money in it. That's how you do it. And I think increasing the number of teams is something that teams will be on board with, the number of teams that make the playoffs, more teams will be on board with. But the idea of, you know, the long layoff, and that's how you reward your best team, and you kind of get out of your rhythm, but also this idea of picking opponents. I mean, yeah, there's a lot there that I think inside baseball, for inside the baseball fraternity, they wouldn't be so on board with. So we'll see. We'll see what gets pushed through and whether or not this was just a sleight of hand by baseball to try to distract fans. It didn't work. All right. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We have some faithful fans who have a lot of years of experience and watching sports, and also when they call up the show, they really do entertain us. They are unique, and I miss them. And Ellen is one of those. We haven't heard from Ellen in quite a while. It wasn't that long ago, maybe a couple of months ago, that we heard from Joe in the Baltimore area. But there are some of our fans that are listeners, I should say, some of our listeners that bring such history and such flavor to the show, and I miss talking to them. So you know who you are. We're happy to have you anytime. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Even as we're talking about how this upcoming weekend in sports is full of a lot of your favorite things. So if you're into the XFL, yay. If you are into Major League Baseball spring training, well, there aren't any games yet, but definitely there's a lot happening, a lot of activity in both the Cactus and the Grapefruit Leagues, or their locales. Actually, I had a guy, I posted my column or the link to my column on, I guess it would have been Wednesday afternoon, whenever it was done. And the guy responds with, "It's baseball season." Like, you know, we can't do more than one thing at a time. Now, I know guys can be terrible multitaskers, but, you know, there's no baseball games yet. So I think you still have some room. But maybe you're into the baseball spring training and the excitement of it. We certainly have NBA All-Star Weekend, NHL games, college basketball, both men and women. And this weekend on CBS, the PGA Tour features a field with Tiger Woods and the top five golfers in the world competing at the Genesis Invitational. It's both Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, only on CBS. I just saw, this actually has been happening the last couple of days, I just saw another response to our question from, gosh, was it earlier this week? I guess it would have been the next, yeah, it was our Twizzler Tuesday question. So Monday night into Tuesday morning, and I've continued to get responses to it. What's your next big thing in sports? And William just responded literally in the last couple minutes to say the Masters in all capital letters. So yeah, these golf tournaments right now are the run-up to the Masters, which is 2 months away. So we're getting there. We are getting there. And then also this weekend, of course, Daytona 500, duh. I was like, wait, there's something else that I left out. Daytona, I feel the need for speed. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Todd is listening in Pittsburgh. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Amy.
Yes.
Hey, my name's like Todd, homeless Todd Sharon. I live about two blocks away from PNC Park, downtown Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Right now, I'm working through the Veterans Leadership Program to get housing.
Good.
My mom passed away 2 years ago. Big Pirates fan. She was sad to see McCutcheon go before she passed. And then Cervelli. I used to ride skateboards with him on the way across the 10th Street Bridge. But at the end of the day, I think this might be good for the Pirates and people that really don't have a lot of money in Major League Baseball. But I think at the end of the day, for the fans, it takes away from regular baseball how it used to be.
Wait, which part are we talking about? Are we talking about expanded playoffs, or are we talking about the rules changes with pitchers having to face at least three batters?
Yeah, both of them.
Oh. So you mean like tweaking it in general?
Yeah. Everything that's going on right now is good for the Pirates, which, you know, I root for the Pirates, but as far as Major League Baseball goes in general, I don't think it's going to I don't think the fans are going to really turn around and like it too much.
Yeah, I think the diehard fans, you definitely get the grumbling. And I wouldn't even consider myself a diehard. There are parts of it that I don't mind. I don't mind the commissioner is trying to speed up the pace of play. I mean, the whole thing about putting a runner on second base in extra innings in order to to have a runner in scoring position to kind of facilitate a quick end, to me, that's hokey and ridiculous. But as long as it doesn't change the actual game of baseball, I'm okay with it. Like, you know, we don't need six pitching changes in an inning. That's okay. The deal about having teams pick their opponents is just flat out dumb. That does not happen anywhere in sports. Why are we doing it in baseball? That to me is like a slap in the face of what these guys work for all year. But you know what? If the playoffs include more teams, I think that's better for fan bases. We have more fans who are engaged for longer.
But there's going to be older fans, like the diehard fans, are going to be just all grumpy, like my mom was, and she's going to, like, freak out, you know.
So your mom would have been grumpy about this, yes.
Yeah. But hey, anyways, I looked at your pictures on Facebook, Amy, and you and your mom, it's really cool stuff what you do. And God bless the Pittsburgh Pirates, Steelers, Penguins not so much because everybody's from Canada anyways. Or overseas.
We like Canadians. So, it's okay.
I know. But anyways, God bless you guys. I listen to you. I don't have a TV in my little room right now, but I'm moving forward. I listen to you on the radio every night straight from Pittsburgh.
Awesome.
I'm straight out of downtown, right on the heart.
Well, good. But, it's good to hear from you.
I love you. I love you guys, Amy, and God bless your mom and dad and everybody.
Thanks, Todd. Thank you for your service, and you take care of yourself.
You're welcome, man. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. It's good to hear from Todd in Pittsburgh. Clearly a huge fan of the teams. Although, I mean, I think if you put his feet to the fire, he would say, thank goodness for those Canadian hockey players like Sidney Crosby. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Who doesn't want candy? But I didn't know anyone wrote a song about it. Can you please tell me who that is singing I Want Candy?
That is the younger brother of famed Backstreet Boy Nick Carter, Aaron Carter.
Oh, I know who Aaron Carter is. Okay, well, interesting that that's what you guys choose to bring us back to our show, because there are a couple of things. For those of you who listened to the show last night, you know we were having technical difficulties, and I was frustrated. It was not a situation that I was comfortable in, and for most of the show, I had to do my segments without headphones, because my headphones had two different things playing over each other, and it was frustrating. And so I went home on Wednesday morning and ate gummy bears before my breakfast, because I felt like that made me feel a little better. So that's one thing. And then as we talk about candy, you guys, we did Ask Amy Anything this time last show, and do you remember that someone mentioned to us chocolate covered gummy bears? So there's a photo, Brian posted a photo on our Twitter of dark chocolate gummy bears. I don't know if you got, no, I'm sorry, not Twitter, Facebook. He posted this photo of dark chocolate gummy bears. Just out of curiosity, tell me how much you think these should cost per pound. I'm not sure where he was shopping or where he saw them, but just take a wild guess what these puppy costs per pound.
Ooh, geez. $9.99 a pound.
Yeah. $10 a pound?
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
Oh, that was a completely
random guess.
I'm being serious.
How in the world? No wonder they're not popular. Who can afford a pound of gummy bears at $10? That's a, I mean, that'll...
It's gourmet. It's so fancy.
Yeah, I guess. Gourmet. I still feel like our fondue idea and just dipping. I mean, heck, I've got white chocolate at home. We could just put it into the microwave, nuke it, and dip the gummy bears in it. Are you guys game? Wait, who doesn't like white chocolate here? One of you doesn't like white chocolate.
I like everything.
Well, that's true. You like everything.
I like white chocolate.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have these white chocolate wafers that you melt, essentially, to bake or cook with. What if I bring them in tomorrow in advance of Valentine's Day? We put them in the microwave, and then we dip our gummy bears in it.
Yes.
But do we need to then put the concoction into the fridge for a bit so that we get, you know, you actually have the chocolate-covered gummy bears that you can pop into your mouth?
That makes sense.
Okay, I do have some chocolate, but I'd have to, it's not in like the wafer form. I mean, we'd be melting down my Kit Kats and my Dove chocolates, which I'd prefer not to do. So white chocolate it is then. Okay, so we're going to try this tomorrow. Great, that'll be, that'll be fun. I feel like a unique Valentine's Day experience. And Chris decided we should do it on video. So I guess we're going to try these white chocolate gummy bears on video. That way we don't have to pay $10 a pound for them. So that's kind of interesting. That'll be something we do for Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to us. Notice that I'm the one bringing both the chocolate and the gummy bears. What are you two supplying to this party?
Ahem. That's a good question.
That is.
What are you bringing?
Valentine's Day goodies are you bringing?
I'll figure something out.
All right.
I can be pretty resourceful on the fly.
That is true. Okay, so that's one thing. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, and we do Ask Amy Anything every hump show, which is the middle show of the work week. You guys remember Chris asked me about golfing, and when one of the listeners had the question of when was the last time you went golfing? And I mentioned I didn't have anyone to golf with, and that's accurate. It's been one of the things about moving to this area and getting this job that's kind of been hard, is that I haven't found a group of people to go golfing with on a regular basis. So, of course, I get people who tweet me and say, I will golf with you. One guy says, I will be your golf partner and your life partner, which was a little bit creepy. And then every time I share these stories, Chris shakes his head like, you've got to be kidding me. Anyway, and of course, it's always the people who either don't have a picture on their avatar. Why is that? Are you afraid to put your picture up? Or it's someone who has a picture that's clearly not him, right?
Sitting in their mother's basement with Cheeto dust on their fingers.
Okay, it doesn't. I mean, great. Thanks, Chris. Those are the only people who want to be my golf and my life partner. I appreciate that. But my point is, like, why would you not put your real photo on it? You're afraid of putting your real photo on your marriage proposal or what?
Nah, there's too many people out there that are, I wouldn't say it's trolling, because it's not. I would actually think if the offer was accepted on your part, that would be jumping up and down for joy.
Me?
No,
or him?
Them. the people asking you for it.
I mean, I get it. I'm kind of desperate, but I'm not that desperate.
No, so it's not exactly trolling, but it's just, there's such a disconnect between generations when it comes to how to use social media. These people that think that that's actually going to get them what they want.
Oh, so he's sure it's not a millennial.
He is confident it's not a millennial. Sure. Bet the house on it.
Are you telling me no millennials ever refuse to put up a picture on their avatar? So there are no millennials out there who have the shadow box or the former egg, it used to be the egg, as their avatar?
Well, unless they're doing like a Kevin Durant type thing where they're just getting the burner accounts ready to go. But no, I would say most people that have the egg or the picture where it's like an awkward, like, for instance, my father is the king of the awkward selfie. I've told him so many times, you got to put up normal pictures on your social media. Middle-aged men in our great country have a problem with posting pictures on social media. They think these up-close shots where you're basically seeing up their nose is a good way to present themselves online, and it's just not. So I'm putting up
a
crusade.
Does Dave classify as a middle-aged male?
He's getting there.
Oh. Whoa. Hey, Dave, did you?
Shots fired.
Now, originally when we first met and you joined the show, you had a picture of yourself Was it a Nets jersey or a Net? It was something like that.
It was a Carmelo Anthony Knicks jersey.
Oh, it's Carmelo Anthony. Now, have you changed your avatar? Or is that still your best foot forward?
I actually just recently changed it.
Two.
Well, I have a logo that I use for like my YouTube channel and stuff, so I just put that on there instead.
Okay, so in other words, Dave is one of those people who has decided not to use a photo. Would you classify him in that same group, Chris?
Well, now we're getting a little technical here because he works in media and he's trying to self-promote. So I don't know if it fits into the same category. If Dave had a picture of himself sitting in a chair on a Saturday morning drinking his coffee and you could see up his nostrils and he's got the ear hair sticking out like my father does, then I would say yes. But
Why don't you just help your dad? You clearly know how to take a good photo. Just help your dad.
He's a helpless cause. No. I've gotten him new clothes. I've gotten him new hats. I've gotten him new stuff to wear and stuff to do. And
but you could take the photo. You could take the photo and put it on his Twitter and he might not even notice.
I don't know.
Or does he have Instagram? What does your dad use?
No, he's a... And that's another thing. Men, most men...
And that's another thing.
Most men of a certain age only use Facebook. So my dad doesn't have Snapchat, Instagram, anything like that. It's all Facebook.
Okay, well, considering what I get from some of this said group of people on social media, it's probably a good thing they don't have Snapchat because I don't need to be... That's why I do not make my Snapchat public because I don't need to be seen... What you might be snapping me. Okay, so anyway, I get this one guy who says, I'll be your golf partner and your life partner. And there was no photo and he had like two followers. Not that that matters, but just, you know, clearly doesn't invest a whole lot of time in his social media. But then there was another guy. Now here's another category of people. They use someone else's photo for their Twitter or their Facebook or their Snapchat. Is that cool if you use like a photo of a famous person or like, you know, someone who comes from a TV show?
Well, there's two different ways to
By the way, Chris is my resident millennial who instructs me on all these things.
Like, prepare to answer almost. Like, I know. They're not written down, but
he's ready.
He is. I don't understand how he just knows, like, these are the right
answers.
Do you
teach classes on millennialism?
No, it's just Dave doesn't understand because Dave is a certain age. Dave is about 5 or 6 years older than me. I won't give away his exact age.
I'd be careful.
But he's actually 37 years older than me in reality.
That's true. He is an old man.
He's one of the youngest men I've ever met.
He's an old soul.
Yes, exactly. So there's two categories of people that do that. There's one that don't really understand the concept of a social media profile, so they think putting a picture of their favorite superhero or their favorite athlete or something is a justifiable thing to do. We actually have a host on our network that puts pictures of his dogs as his profile picture. It's an interesting choice. I've talked to him about it.
I mean, I've once had a profile picture with a horse. Is that considered of a certain age? Like, that's only what old people
do? But it was just the horse?
Me and the horse.
No, that's perfectly fine. Oh. But if it was just the horse, that'd be a little strange. And then the second one... is actually something that we've seen. Did you hear of the Netflix documentary Don't Bleep with Cats?
Yes.
Okay, so the whole basis of that documentary is the main character in the documentary is somebody that uses a fake profile with a fake picture to do all of her investigative work and starts this big group of people to chase down this criminal. And those are the types of people that use those alternative pictures for their profile.
Oh, so if they're trying to be clandestine, they're spies, maybe. Okay.
Super secret.
Interesting. Okay, so... this other guy then sends me a tweet saying, and I actually retweeted it. He said, I'll play golf with you. I don't think it was like, I'll be your golf and your life partner. Amy, I would be happy to golf with you. And his name is Matt, I guess, we think. But his profile picture, if you would like to go back and look at it, it appears to be this black and white kind of artsy photo, and it cuts off his face. So it's his nose and it's his mouth. And I don't think it's really him because it feels like it's too perfect of one of those pictures. But to continue it forward, Matt says, I'm happy to golf with you. And I say, cool, I need a partner. Now, this is not like a personal conversation. This is me like retweeting, quoting his tweet. And he writes back, hit me up the next time you're in the ATL. Okay. So this is just my thinking. Why should I be hitting you up? Like, you get to golf with me. I don't really know why I should be hitting you up. This is why I need Chris, because is this just, that's just his invitation to play golf? Like, I mean, I'm not going to
cool
Atlanta
story,
and being
bro,
like,
is the expression I'd use there. Yeah, I don't think.
I'm not going to Atlanta and being like, yo, Matt, with your half a face. I'm ready. I'm here. I'm hitting you up. Furthermore, on Twitter, like that's how, I mean, I get it. I'm old. I'm of a certain age, as Chris so delicately puts it. Brian, who fills in on the show sometimes, just flat out calls us old. In fact, he's gotten pretty close to calling Chris old, too, which is funny because they're at least of the same decade. But yeah, I mean, the whole hit me up the next time you're in Atlanta. No, like, no, no, that's just not
my
how it
theory,
works.
Theory is that he thinks maybe since you do get the creepers so often, is that if he plays it cool and nonchalant, that might actually be the best shot of having what he wants to have happen, which is, if you're in Atlanta, to play a nice round of golf.
Now, see, I'm good with that because you're in a public place and you probably get paired with some other people, and that, to me, feels safe. But let's be honest, a female who accepts requests on Twitter, I mean, you're getting into some crazy kind of, like, people are not always who they say they're going to be, and this guy has half a face, and then there's, I mean, I guess it's better than having just a blank avatar. But
no, if this were to actually happen, we'd have a very serious conversation off the air about expectations and what is actually going on.
For him, not for me.
Yes.
Like, I just want to play some golf.
Yes.
But would you grill him? You'd give him the 20 questions?
Oh, we'd make sure that he's a real person.
Would we make him wear one of those bracelets that if he, gets out of line or steps off, I don't know.
Oh,
whatever,
there'd be secret passwords and phone calls if things are getting off the rails. We'd set up a whole buddy system.
Wow.
Yeah, whole thing.
Chris, I like this. So not only is he giving us the whole millennial education, but he's understanding that people take advantage of this kind of stuff.
Can I just say that Chris is a completely untapped resource right now?
I've
been referring to my children when it comes to social media and what to do to not seem old, as he says.
Just to clarify, though, this is the same guy who thinks 95% of the world's problems could have been solved in the past with people having cell phones. Okay, so he's a little bit off the deep end when it comes to the social media and the cell phones, but yes, he does provide the great education and is going to provide some Valentine's snacks to go along with our white chocolate covered gummy bears. Yum. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.